Welcome to the online version of The Message, a very similar message that I'll bring on Sunday morning live and in person in church. Hope you can make it. I really appreciate you all listening online, but sure would love to see you in person sometime soon. You know, this is Palm Sunday, and my message this day is entitled, Lay It All Down. What do you mean, preacher? Lay it all down. Lay it all down for the Lord. Wow. You know, the prayer shawl that I have on the chair behind the pulpit is called a tallit. There's a Hebrew word for here, the English word here. It's called the Shema. And this is what it says. It comes out of Deuteronomy 22:12. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Now, I know most of us are familiar with prayer shawls. A lot of prayer shawls today are often given as gifts. Ladies groups especially make prayer shawls and they pass them out. It's a wonderful thing. We give them to someone who knows that they need a comfort or maybe a loving word and a prayer and love. The shawl is a symbol of healing and hope. And that's what the tallit is. Well, prayer shawls have a long history that goes all the way back to the early Hebrews, both in Numbers and Deuteronomy, showing God instructing people to create a special garment adorned with braided tassels. Wearing the garment honored God as a cloak, and the tassel served as a reminder of God's covenant. Obedience to God's will, and a life lived in reverence to God. The cloak and the tassel serve as a kind of insurance that the wearer would not be distracted by unholy things. That cloak in the Hebrew tradition, as I mentioned, was called a tallit. The threads, white with blue running through them, is what makes up that tallit. It's a symbol of covenant loyalty, a Jewish identity in prayer. The tallit was worn continually by all the Jewish men, especially rabbis. And you see it today if you see people praying at the Western Wall in Jerusalem. You'll see all of them wearing this thing called a tallit. Wearing it means that you are wrapping yourself in prayer, just as you're wrapping yourself in God's presence and grace. And I have one, as you know, right here behind the pulpit. And if you look at the neck of the tallit, the Shema, Deuteronomy 6:4, when you put on the tallit, you are to wrap yourself first entirely in the shawl, covering your head and your face. Then the tallit remains around your shoulder, signifying that your identity as a person of God. The wrapping is significant. And as you wrap yourself in the prayer tallit, especially your life becomes a life of prayer, and your life becomes an offering to God. So as you pray, your prayers become holy to God. I think it's interesting then that when Jesus rides into Jerusalem, the day that we call Palm Sunday today, people lining the streets suddenly start taking off their tallits and laying them down in the streets in front of him. Now, I want us to imagine for a moment. You know, you heard me say before, we need to let our imagination, when we're studying Scripture and we're looking at the stories in Scripture, we just got to let our imagination work for us for a moment. Think about this. The street being strewn with palm leaves and tallits. People waving and shouting. Jesus himself sitting upon a donkey layered with the tallit. Like Solomon before him, comes down the road and right up to the temple. And they shout, Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven. And then after the procession was over, Jesus took a look around the temple. And then he retreated once more with his disciples to Bethany. Now that procession was planned. It was deliberate and highly symbolic of the coming kingdom, the kingdom of peace. Except most of Jesus' followers and fans had no idea what was to come next and what kind of kingdom this would be, or how that this kingdom would come to pass. Most still believed that the overthrow of Rome was at hand and that the Messiah would literally sit on the throne formerly occupied by King David. Yet, they did not know that Jesus was no ordinary teacher. Yeah, they saw him as Messiah, spokesman of the people, rightful king in the Davidic line, man of God, and they laid down their tallits before him. This was an act of extreme loyalty, reverence, and trust. To remove the tallit and spread it before Jesus' feet meant that someone saw Jesus as a man who was in God's presence, who exemplified what it meant to live a godly life, who represented the might and the power of God. Now we know, modern-day disciples know that Jesus represented the healing power of God. And we remember, as Jesus was going to heal a leader's daughter, that on the way a woman reached out and touched him. They call them wings on the tallit. That's those little braids, the tallit in the garment. And immediately she was healed. For the Messiah will have healing in his wings. You know, Scripture interprets Scripture. Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, you'll find that verse, healing in his wings. The people lay down their tallits because they knew who Jesus was. And they knew what he could do. And laying down those tallits, those prayer shawls, they were laying down their most ardent prayers at the feet of Jesus for release, for freedom, for healing, God's good news of victory from oppression, fear, poverty, and pain. And I wonder if the memory of Jesus' words, the good news mission as read by Jesus in the synagogue in Nazareth and then relayed by Luke as the promise in Isaiah, resounded in the minds of the people that day as they lauded the symbolic entry into Jerusalem for the Passover feast. Oh, they knew who he was, and they laid down all of their prayers, their hopes, and their faith at his feet as the one to come to restore Israel's future. But Jesus was so much more than that, so much more than they could ever imagine possible. Oh, he had tried to tell his followers and disciples about what was to come. They were too inspired to hear it. It sounded so strange and incredulous. Too out of the box, maybe. Too fantastical to understand or even to take it in. They wouldn't understand until much, much later. But they did understand this. He was the one that they could trust. He was the one who healed and saved people. All people, no matter who they were. He was the one who cared and preached the good news of God's restoration. He was the one that all of their hopes and dreams rested upon him. They would put their faith in him. For him, they would lay down their reverence. He had their deference, commitment, loyalty, and full trust. Now this day that we call Palm Sunday, with the waving of the palms and the laying down of lives in prayer, was a day of commitment to the man they felt had the power to change the world. And he did. They just didn't quite understand how. Today, 2,000 plus years later, we too show deference to Jesus. But we understand even more deeply the sacrifice he was about to make in our behalf. Not only do we have history on our side, but the disciples, they wrote the Gospels, and we have it to be able to read and to understand. So I just want to take a moment to take this opportunity to say, lay down our prayers, whatever they may be. Prayer for healing, prayer for restoration, prayer for resurrection of lives and churches. Boy, the Lord knows our churches need some restoration and resurrection. Prayers for victory over sin and death. Whatever's plaguing your life right now, whatever prayers lie most deeply in your heart, take a moment and come into an attitude of prayer with and for your Savior Jesus. Take a moment right now and lay it down at his feet. Lay it all down. Lay it all down, all your hopes, all your dreams, all your trust, all your faith in Jesus, who can triumphant over anything. I'm a life that's been saved. I'm a life that I changed because Christ changed me from the inside out. Oh, I am not perfect by no means, but I was able to lay it all down. All my pain and all my doubt and all my worries and all my hesitations at the feet of Jesus, who promised to heal your wounds and redeem your life. Thank you, Jesus, for redeeming my life. And I pray a prayer of intercession for my brothers and sisters who may be hearing this message that are struggling with some of life's issues I did. I know it's real. I know that the Lord can do what He did for me for anybody if they only trust Him. So lay it down. Lay it all down at the feet of Jesus. That's what Palm Sunday is truly about. Praise the Lord. Praise the house of God. Bethel, which means house of God. Praise the Lord, house of prayer and praise. Praise the Lord, disciples of Jesus. Thank you for the disciples who were faithful to our Lord, who allows us to not only have a relationship, but to continue to study and to understand what God has done for us, something that we could not do for ourselves. Wow, that's a special, special thing. I want to just give you a little note. You know, as I mentioned earlier, Scripture interprets Scriptures. And often wondered about the donkey. Why a donkey? Well, I found that in over Zechariah chapter 9, verses 9 and 10, that the donkey symbolizes a king who comes to restore peace rather than war. Isn't that interesting? Zechariah 9, verses 9 and 10. Well, just a little tidbit to close this segment with, but, you know, Scripture does interpret Scripture. Scripture is so important. As I was talking about in my pastor's thoughts, feed your faith. And how do you feed your faith? You feed it by reading God's Word. You know, through the eye gate, the Word of God comes through the eye gate into the heart. It's amazing. It really is. Well, I hope and pray you're doing well. We miss seeing you. If you haven't been in church in a while, we ask that you think about coming back. People are starting to come back, and we're in anticipation of children and families coming back to church. It's been a long 3 years, a long dry spell for a lot of us, and we need you, we want you, and I hope to see you in person sometime too. God loves you, and so do I.